of a champion.
You decided to allow the story to be told?
They originally approached me when I was a senior in college, I think, and they were like, do you want this documentary to be made on you? And I was,
No.
I was like, definitely not. I'm like, I'm actually really camera shy, and so I have this whole personality off, away from the cameras that I have, so it took a couple years for me to get used to the idea, and then I became really cool with these guys, and they're all very young, down-to-earth people with similar personalities, so I decided if it's anybody, it should be these guys.
And Evan, will you tell us a little bit about why you sought out Jeremy, and as a filmmaker, what attracted you to the story?
Sure. I mean, when I first heard about him, he was at Harvard, and he was, you know, making a lot of waves there. He was breaking some records, winning a lot of games. But one of the biggest things was he was dunking. He was dunking in the games. And to me, that was pretty awesome. But, you know, he was just, I could identify with him on a lot of levels. I'm from the Bay Area, and, you know, I had the same sort of Asian American upbringings and dreams that he had. And I thought this was a good story to tell at that point.
We also want to open this up to the audience for questions. We have two mics back here at the corners if you guys want to come down. I guess, too, what an incredible third act. I mean, you've been working with Jeremy for several years, and suddenly he just explodes. Tell me what that was like as a filmmaker.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, as a documentary filmmaker, you hope for something like this. You dream of something like this. You know, you want to turn, and you're there before and after that moment happened. And, yeah, I mean, for us, it was pretty crazy. And, you know, I mean, to be there before and to be there after, and, you know, I mean, I have to say, I mean, this guy is the same guy, you know, I met 4 years ago, same guy before and after all that, so.
And, Jeremy, you're pretty open in the film about your faith. Was it important that your faith come across in this?
Yeah, I think through the whole insanity thing, everyone got to write and a lot of things about me and tell my story, but this film, I want to make sure I told it through my own eyes. And faith is everything to me, and it's a huge reason for everything that I do. And so we wanted to make sure that we definitely shared it through the story, because it really is what got me through the toughest of tough times. And so I'm just thankful for that, and I'm thankful that I can share it with everybody.
Okay. Well, let's start back here.
Yeah, thank you. My first question, you were kind of going into it, but I was just wondering, is there anything, after you've seen this film so many times, is there anything about your faith? You talked about ego near the beginning of the film. Is there anything about your faith that you wish the world would have seen that maybe wasn't fully portrayed, but you wanted to explain some more?
I think there's a lot of different things. I mean, I think some of the things that, you know, during my low points, I really wanted to quit. I didn't even want to get in the game. Like, I was hoping that the coach wouldn't even put me in the game. Like, that's how nervous and scared I was to go in, because I felt like if I go in and mess up, like that could be it for me. They could just cut me. And so just for a year and a half, you know, I hated game days. I didn't want us to have any games. I didn't ever want to touch the floor because I was so afraid of doing something wrong. And I just had no confidence. And so just emphasizing that fact. And obviously you don't get to go through all the details in a film, but that's probably one of the tougher parts that, you know, we didn't get a chance to convey as much.
And obviously, he didn't really want us to film during those times.
Like, when I was going through the airport on my way to Houston, like, I almost punched Alan in the face because he was like, we got to film. I'm like, dude, I'm not filming right now. I just got cut. I'm not filming. But they dragged me through it, man, and now it's like the best footage, like, ever that we, like, for us, for the film-wise, like, you know, talking right after I got picked up by the Knicks and things like that. They literally had to drag me to do it because I was like, dude, go away. All you guys go away. Forget the documentary. I don't want to talk to you guys. But it turned out to be okay.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jeremy. I'm from New Jersey. I actually just moved down here 6 months ago. So I experienced Linsanity firsthand, man. Huge Knicks fan. Linsanity was you as a Knick. Do you miss the Knicks, that whole Linsanity New York marriage you had?
No.
Which was awesome.
No.
Come back.
The one thing that I'll always remember for sure and cherish is the fan support. And, you know, we got to see it there. That was the craziest thing, like, I've ever experienced by far. And I really do miss the fans and playing at Madison Square Garden and playing in front of those guys every night. But, you know, also I'm very, very happy in Houston. It's a different chapter in my life. And, you know, the big city and the glitz and the glamour and the lights, that took its toll on me. And it's tough to play in that environment. And so for me, I think personality-wise, I'm a lot better suited in Houston. And I'm very thankful for what we're doing, and I'm excited about our team.
And is that why you left? Just out of curiosity, just the glitz and glamour.
There's a whole backstory to how all that happened.
That's another documentary.
Yeah, that's Insanity Part 2 coming out in a few years.
Yes, sir. Holding to that.
Oh, by the way, the Rockets beat the Knicks 94. Elijah won. Jeremy, so how's the pressure now being the starting point guard of the Rockets and? I know you currently are in a playoff hunt, trying to move up, you know, to avoid the 8th and 7th seed.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's different. I kind of underestimated how hard it is to be consistent and to be able to play every single night and take everyone's best shot. And so, you know, in terms of my approach and the pressure, I've kind of learned, it's one of those things where I have to constantly struggle with playing just for God. Like when I worry about playing for myself, for my own stats, or for what other people are saying or thinking, or to please everybody else, that's when I really get out of my own element. I got to continue to stay focused, stay in the Bible, to make sure my priorities are right.
Yes, sir.
To the filmmakers, that was fantastic. You told the story very well. For Jeremy, a question, or I guess everybody, because you're all there, but you speak a lot about racism and that sort of thing that's going on, you know, on the sidelines with fans and so on and so forth, but there wasn't that much about it as in the league. So I don't know if you want to comment on that or if you could comment on that.
Actually, I think like pretty much most of it went away in the league. I haven't really had much racist stuff to me, none by players in the league. And there are fans who will say stuff, but it wasn't anything close to college. And so that was really the biggest part of the racism. And then there's a whole other side of, you know, the things that were said on ESPN or the jokes that were being made. But none of those were said directly to me.
Thank you.
I was wondering for the team, in a doc setting, I think it's really easy to get attached to your subject, or you should get attached to your subject, and you want the best for them. And I've had a case where I was with a recovering crack addict, and I didn't want to be at his first day on the job because I didn't want to feel like I was, you know, weighing him down and something that the people at the job would be frustrated that I'm there with the camera. I was wondering, during the scenes with the Knicks, when it's getting down to the wire, those last couple games, I mean, was it hard for you guys and him, and for Jeremy, you can speak on this too, like being a nuisance or being afraid that you were a nuisance on his end or on the Knicks' end?
Sure. I mean, I think as a documentary filmmaker, you have to build a certain level of trust between, you know, the filmmaker and the subject, and you have to be caught. You have to be cautious. You have to be aware of that space because you're telling your perspective. It's not, you know, I'm trying to tell a con, being a conduit of his story, but you have to keep your distance. And, you know, that's something we're very conscious of, you know, as filmmakers, to tell the best story we can tell in, you know, 88 minutes. You know, and this is also our story, you know. So, you know, that's basically.
And also it's just a matter of us, you know, being friends and understanding and just talking it through. And sometimes I really couldn't do it. I was like, dude, I can't. I have nothing left for you guys. I have no energy or my mind's on other things. And then there are other times where they're like, look, we really need to get this. You really need to do this. And so, you know, it was great. And we've developed a really cool friendship. And so, you know, we'll hang out even when the doc's all said and done with. So it was a special time.
When things weren't going so well, did the organization ever get frustrated by you guys being around so much?
I had to do way more stuff for the organization than they did.
So. I was just going to say, by the time Linsanity came around, there was probably 25 cameras following this guy into the bathroom, into the restaurants, into wherever he was going. So I think he was used to it by that day.